The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 274.
277, I think.
I was close.
Million.
Yep.
Hot start.
There's a factor of six in there somewhere. Yeah. Oilers Nation Radio, it's the Friday episode. Gang's all here. Dan, Rick, Tyler, Liam, Bag Milk. Plenty to discuss. And as always, we start off with a shout out to our friends at Oodle Noodle, 18 locations at counting. If you are in the Edmonton area and you want some Oilers Nation stickers, pop into any of those Edmonton locations and grab one. If they do not have some because they're out, just let us know. We'll get them restocked. Deal? Deal. Tyler, what do you got for a delicious debate today?
Well, our pal Frank Saravalli was doing a hit with the guys at Bally Sports, and he dropped an interesting take in regards to Stuart Skinner and the Calder Trophy. So we're going to give our thoughts on whether or not Stuart Skinner is deserving of the Calder. But first, let's hear what Frank had to say.
We're so used to seeing, you know, McDavid and Matthews and all these unbelievable players come through with special seasons as a rookie. Not to say that it isn't from Beniers, but I think it just kind of opens up the door for someone like Stuart Skinner to walk in. And if you're talking on pure impact, how poorly Jack Campbell has played in net for the Edmonton Oilers this season. Stuart Skinner, 24 years old. Yes, I get it. This is his third technical season in the NHL in terms of games played. He had 113 and now has carried the ball for the Edmonton Oilers this season. He hadn't hit the games played maximums, so he actually remains a rookie by the true definition of the award, and therefore I think must be considered. You can't knock him for that. And if that's the case, it's hard to argue that the Edmonton Oilers are going to be in the playoffs if not for how well Skinner has played this season with a 9-11 save percentage. So right now, I'm leaning Skinner in the number one slot and Beniers number two.
Oh, Frankie.
Spicy.
Putting Stu in the number one spot. Thoughts?
I brought this up around Christmas time, that whether or not he should be involved in the conversation, and everybody kind of laughed at me.
I don't think we laughed at you.
I openly mocked you about it to everyone I know.
I think we need to go back. I'm pretty sure there is laughing and there is pointing and there is judging. No, listen, I said it a long time ago. I honestly think that he was one of the best of the rookies still. I said it back then. I believe it right now. And the way that Beniers has sort of kind of fallen off, as we just spoke about, I think that does give him kind of the nudge into the number one spot. I don't know if I would put him at number one myself. I haven't even really looked at it.
Who are the?
But I think he needs to be in the top three. No problem. I don't see there's any other way.
Outside of Matty Beniers, who are the other rookies that would even garner attention here?
McTavish.
McTavish in Anaheim.
Craig McTavish.
Fucking hell, good for him.
Yeah. Good job. We got a good look the other day at Matias.
Still
Michelli.
Younger than Panarin. Mm. When he won?
Yeah, Panarin won at the same age as Mac T is now, so yeah. It makes sense. Yeah.
I agree with everything Frank said, except for the fact that he leaves out that the Edmonton Oilers just don't seem to get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to awards and having that mentality that Frank had there, where it's like, yeah, if you look at the Oilers and you say, if the Oilers had Jack Campbell as their starting goalie and he was their only starting goalie, they wouldn't be where they are right now, but for the fact that we have Stuart Skinner. So I agree with everything Frank said, but I just don't see an Edmonton Oiler winning a Calder Cup or a Calder Trophy this year, just because we haven't had McDavid. We haven't had Gretzky. We haven't ever had a Calder Trophy winner. Well,
the
in
Gretzky
city.
Thing was a robbery. McDavid, yep. Everyone wants to say because there was enough games played, which ridiculous. Is kind of a joke.
Dumb. But now they'll say that. Now they'll say thing. That.
No.
Now they'll say that. So Skinner's
any conspiracy against us. I mean, for the longest time, we didn't have players that were good enough to even be in the top.
Like Nuge got robbed for the games played thing too.
Yeah,
but now it could go the other way. And Skinner may have played too many games for the writers to give him the award now because he's played, what, 13, 15 games before this season.
No, he's still falling to the rookies.
I agree.
Got to be in a rookie.
Yeah. I think they'll take the literal definition of it. Here's my thing. Like, Skinner's having a great year. And Frank brought up the point of how screwed would the Oilers be if Skinner wasn't doing this because of how poor Campbell is. But the award isn't the rookie most valuable to their team. It's the best rookie. Matty Beniers has been playing top line minutes for the Seattle Kraken. I believe he's their highest scoring forward.
But if they not, also have like 9 second line forwards.
Yeah. And that's a good point too. But he's been their most consistent scoring forward. Maybe Jared McCann, you could say, is a little bit better. But Beniers is having a great year. And the other name, Logan Thompson in Vegas, is also technically a rookie, and he has a better save percentage and a better goals against average. And he has 2 shutouts. He's been hurt, but he still only played 6 less games than Stuart Skinner. If you're truly going off who's been the best rookie goalie this year, there probably is also a case for Thompson. But I will, like, if I had a ballot, my top three would be in some order: Beniers, Thompson, Skinner. I'm just
why'd not. You put him in third?
I do. That's just the way I said it. Alphabetical order.
Nope. Watching everybody in the room doing the alphabet on their fingers. Yeah, was the best.
T comes after S.
No, like, it would be those three in some order. I think it could honestly end up being a pretty tight vote. But the fact that Frank Saravalli, important national media figure, Frank Saravalli, is kind of starting this conversation now about Skinner, I think there'll be some people who hear that and kind of go, or some voters who hear that and go, yeah, that's a really good point. He is a legitimate case. I'm not sure if it's his. I won't say it's a lock or anything, but it's a legitimate case.
And he gets nominated at the very least?
Nominated at the very least.
I hope so, but all I think about is like when he went to the All-Star game and everybody's like, who? What? And they try to like tear down his season, what it's been so far. He was like a candy.
Yeah. Tyler's always got candy for him.
I didn't pack lunch today, and then I was selling a microwave, so I didn't have time to get anything to eat. So now all I have is this handful of caramel M&Ms.
They're delightful.
You be careful. You got a meeting at 3 o'clock too. You need to like spread this out.
I know. I have to ration these M&Ms.
You got to go down and get yourself a nice cheese bun.
I will.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of time, but that's what interns are
Liam, for. What do you think? Do you get some color consideration?
Yes. And I have some stats for us all here. Let's that's what I've been researching.
That's what we.
So the last Calder winner as a goalie was Steve Mason in 2009.
Legend.
Wow. May I remember him?
Yeah. I have a Steve Mason jersey.
Didn't he have like 10 shutouts that year, though, or something crazy?
Columbus he had 10 shutouts, a 916 save percentage, and a 2.29 goals against average. Columbus were in the Western Conference that year and finished seventh.
Who was on the list of the three finalists there? I'm just curious because...
What did I say?
I'm giving you a wild card to pull out there, but I'd just be curious because this year we're talking about a bit of a weaker... I would say a weaker Calder class.
Yeah.
So we'll see what is compared to there.
Come on.
Mason, Bobby Ryan, and Chris Versteeg.
There's legend Chris Versteeg.
Yes.
Okay. So
this year,
what a training camp he had.
Skinner doesn't have the 10 shutouts, but he does have a better, what did I say? Save percentage was better. Boo. I lost my stats.
Mason had the better
just off. But last year, Nedeljkovic was a Calder Trophy finalist. And he only played 23 games. So, and he finished second in voting. He had a 190 save goals against, and his save percentage was 932.
I would be curious again, who was he nominated with there? Just because who won?
Nominated with, so that was the year that Kaprizov won.
Okay.
Jason Robertson finished second, and Nedeljkovic was third.
Wow, that's a pretty good little
to me. Like, and it sucks you can't have the most valuable rookie portion as part of this conversation because, like Frank said, if it wasn't for Stuart Skinner, this fucking season's in the toilet.
You don't know if Calvin Pickard could have kind of come up and done something,
Mike Smith.
Friend Ollie? Why do you not believe in your friend Ollie? He could have come up and helped out.
Well, I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, I don't know how he's looking. Yeah. You know, I know. I'm glad I inspired him with excellent photo.
Like, I'm the most valuable side of it. Like, Vegas is showing right now they're fine without Logan Thompson. Edmonton really hasn't shown for a very long stretch this year that they'd be okay without Stuart Skinner.
18-9 right. and whatever for Campbell.
Yeah, hey.
I, you know what? Sure, maybe that's a good point. And Seattle, I mean, if you took a 50-goal scorer or 50-point scorer out of that lineup, how screwed would they be? They actually might have kept humming along okay. So maybe that is something people will factor in, even if it's not like a definition of the award.
If you're listening to this right now, I want you to send us a message. ON Radio Podcast, should Stu get some consideration for the Calder Trophy? I say yes.
Everyone, at
the
very least a nomination. Everyone thinks he's top three?
Yeah, yes. I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Do you know, actually, Steve Mason wasn't even the best goalie that season on save percentage for a rookie?
Who was?
Pekka Rinne.
Oh.
Oh, some guy named Pekka Rinne.
Mm, yeah. But Nashville didn't make the playoffs.
Wishes he was Steve Mason.
When did Columbus move to the West? The East?
I think it was right same before years, the last lockout.
Same year as the Detroit Red Wings.
Nope. Oh, yeah. I forgot the Red Wings were in the Western Conference for a long time. That'd be
when like Vegas got here? Or?
Oh, yeah. It was when Vegas got here. Sorry. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't remember that.
Can't see what I was going to say. That's the only time I can see any shifting.
Where else did Steve Mason play? Like Philly?
Philly.
He was in Winnipeg. Columbus, right?
Yes, he was. I think he was in Winnipeg system. I don't know if he had
you. No, yeah, he played 13 games for the Jets. That was his last little bit. And he's not even a guy who went overseas. Damn. He played 13 games with the Jets, won with the Manitoba Moose, and was like, fuck it, I'm out.
What was his career earnings?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's all the
Steve Mason. It's like $5 million a year.
Career.
So he, what? When's he dip? Like 27?
$25 million. US.
You could live on that.
I think they gave him like a 6x4 deal out of that.
When did he dip? 2010 season.
And how old was he?
I don't know how old he was. That was his second season. He went from a 916 to a 901. And then in seven games with Philly in 2013, he had a 944. Kind of picked it up for a few years.
So let's say he's like mid
13 games with Winnipeg. He had a 906.
Mid 20s. And he's like, all right, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm going to take my 25 mil and go.
He was like 33 when he retired.
Goalies don't really have personal trophies anyways.
15 years in the league?
Well, 2008.
When's he born?
We got some Remchak Liam math going on
here. He was born in a hospital, I believe. The year was... He's now 34. He retired much earlier than that because he retired in 2018. So that would be if minus five.
Yep.
34, 28.
29.
And the Oilers had his number in 14 career games against the Edmonton Oilers. Steve Mason had an 870 save percentage and a 362 goals against average.
Another fun fact, Steve Mason, after playing in the playoffs in 2009, didn't play again until 2014.
So in other words, you don't want Stuart Skinner to win the Calder Trophy.
Yeah, I'm out on the Skinner
Trophy. Actually, we want to take him out of the voting completely.
Who do you think is the goalie over the last 10 years will do minimum three games played against the Oilers? Who's the goalie who has their number the most?
Like who is
the best goalie last 10 years, minimum three games played against the Oilers?
Can you tell us what conference they played in?
I'm finding the answer.
I'm just going to...
Oh, you'll never
guess. I'm trying to think of it off my head. Like, Pekka Rinne owned the Oilers for a long time.
Yeah.
That changed over the last handful of years.
Games. So, Pekka Rinne, in 18 games against the Oilers over the last decade, 926 and a 213. Very good. Not the best.
How long did this guy play in the NHL for?
Well, maybe I shouldn't have used three games.
Dave Riddich.
I kept thinking Riddich too.
If we use three games as the low marker, it's Curtis McElhenney. Who went 3-0 with a 9-5-1, 1-9-4. If you go with 10 games against the Oilers over the last decade as the minimum,
Schneider.
Devin Dubnyk.
Oh my God.
Damn it.
Son of a
revenge
bitch.
Games matter.
934, 166. Then it's Jimmy Howard. Then it's Mike Smith.
Jesus.
Well, we got
Jimmy Howard played for the Oilers too.
If you can't beat him, join him.
No. Jimmy Howard was asked if he wanted to come to the Oilers and said, I'd rather sit at home.
Fair enough.
And who have the Oilers lit up the most minimum 10 games played?
Riddich.
Our old pal, Martin Jones, who has a miserable 884 save percentage against the Oilers in 21 games over the last decade.
That's his average. Career average, 884. Yeah.
And the worst goals against average is Jonas Korpisalo, 377.
Wow. Not this year, though.
Nope.
But he gave up five to the Oilers, so his GAA would be trash. But his save percentage would be better this year.
Yeah. That is true.
I want to hear from you. Hit us up. Should Stu get some Calder consideration? I say yes. I also say that you should go to Jasper. It's spring. It's lovely. Spring skiing is still here. Got to get on Marmot before all the snow goes away. Conditions are still wonderful as I'm looking at the Marmot Escape Card website. Snow's still in good shape. But summer's just around the corner. Golf course opens on May 31st. start planning ahead. Go check out jasper.travel for all the options. Get yourself to the mountains. Promise you're going to have a good time. Liam, would you disagree?
I'd never.
See? Liam endorsed trip to the mountains. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to do. Jasper.travel. Get out there. Get out there. The thing I want to talk about next is how can we not talk about the game on, what was that, Wednesday against the Coyotes? First of all, fuck you with your 9 p.m. start. It was okay. I'll allow it. We made it through. But the McSixty. I mean, last year, if you remember correctly, everybody was wanking on about Austin Matthews getting his 60. Got that in an empty net, by the way. Connor McDavid got his 60th on an OT winner. Absolute beauty. Same move, two attempts.
And one game less.
And smashed the hell out of the stick beforehand to know who's boss.
Shout out to the CCM stick for holding tight.
They made a post about that today, actually. It was pretty funny.
CCM?
Yeah.
Our sticks don't break.
Yeah. But like also Connor, I mean, what the hell are you thinking, big man?
Yeah.
Like you, it's 3-on-3 OT. Even if like they had lost possession of the puck at that point, then Drysdale forced a turnover. Like you got to get back in the play, my boy. There's no time to throw a temper tantrum.
You could have just James Reimer'd. Tackle somebody.
Yeah.
You don't
show
get
that emotion.
That.
Show that emotion. It's almost playoff time. I want to see emotion. Smash that stick if you need to.
And Liam, you don't know. You were vehemently against the late start, and yet you found yourself at Rogers Place. What was the vibes like in there?
Well, the wave started to begin when the others were down 2-1. So my vibes were down on that.
Yeah, we can't
one. So you're saying the wave is what helped the Oilers win in the long run?
Oh.
No, I'm not, because Colorado.
They were down, though.
Yeah, but then Colorado scored again when they started to do it.
Colorado scored.
That is impressive.
Arizona,
how tired were you? The Avalanche just showed up and we're like, goal!
When it became 2-2, people started doing it again. That's when you saw it go around the most. And then Arizona scored like almost immediately after and everyone just sat down after. But the vibes were pretty good. You could 100,000,000% tell that the Oilers Entertainment Group was trying to put on a show because they're on national TV. I have never seen so many games played, like in a, like stoppage games played in a game ever. It was every single stoppage. It was a game. It was weird.
That's not on TV.
No, but like TNT's there, the right? Sort of like putting on the show of it all and everything. They like announced that we were on like national TV.
Do you think
Canada and North America?
Do you think Sportsnet takes a little shot?
They should. Because you know what? I was sitting there, I was thinking about TNT the other day because after post game, Biz was talking to McDavid, asking dumb questions. McDonough.
McDonough.
She was talking about McDonough's and Madonna and Donairs. But my thought was I went back to the playoffs when Colorado was here and TNT had that big thing set up right in the Moss Pit. Gretzky was sitting there. People are screaming at them. It was a vibe. And yet Sportsnet, they don't even give them a pregame show.
Like, dude, like in between their analysis, the way that they break down the game and the plays, but
they got the net out and they're joking.
It actually is really, really fucking good. And it makes Sportsnet look like
pathetic.
Yes.
To be honest,
it's terrible.
They're just going through the motions.
It's terrible. It's
like we should launch our own intermission show.
I think that Sportsnet and the Canadian broadcasters can get comfortable. They just can be comfortable because we're going to watch the hockey, whether they're exactly doing anything.
They don't need to grow the game.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
How crazy is it that Sportsnet now has Keith Yandel and Anson Carter who try to show some personality on when they do it? It's not the same. Then they go to TNT and they're like completely different.
Yeah.
Essentially it's half of the cast that they do for Sportsnet, right?
Here's what I don't like. Worry and joking around. And then you watch Yandel and Anson Carter on the intermissions for Oilers games. And it's like, let's give a pick for the Norris. I like Erik Karlsson. I don't think he plays defense.
But that's
Bet 365.
That's set up like the producer or something, isn't it?
Like, but like exactly, but like they're being not muzzled, but like
they're told
let them have fun.
Yeah, they're told to like follow this, don't do that.
It's the personalities you put them across from. Tyler's exactly right. To
me, you have to allow them to have their personalities.
Yes, but you put them across from Elliot Friedman and
Elliot can be
Braun
funny.
And
Elliot's funny, and so is what's his face from Vancouver.
But they go back to the exact same tropes that they've always done on Canadian television. That's just it.
Yeah, because they're not allowed to.
Who's facing the most pressure in the playoffs?
Yes.
But also like TNT knows what they have there because the NBA show on TNT, I don't even care about basketball, but I see that shit all the time because those guys are having fun.
Yeah. Like the clip of Shaq getting pushed into the Christmas tree.
The best.
I don't even
man down.
I don't even compare it to that because those are just like big personalities and that's not really basketball stuff. What I'm more impressed with, and I do enjoy that part of the hockey aspect too, but what I really enjoyed is the breakdown of the analysis of the game.
Yeah, it is
it is much better. They do have more freedom to do.
Yeah. Like I was watching a game and I don't know which game it was, but it was Sarah Nurse and it was Lundqvist. And she was explaining what she's thinking about when she's going down on a breakaway. And then he explains what he's thinking about when he's facing a breakaway. And it was actually really, really well done. And you don't get an iota of that from Sportsnet.
Yeah. I do like the people that Sportsnet have when they do the games. Like I think Elliot's
entertaining. I like Elliot,
but he does bring a serious side to it too. And I think it kind of works. And like, the guys who have it, like, I know Kevin Bieksa, like, people are mixed on him, but he does have a personality.
Bieksa is really good.
I think I like Bieksa a lot.
Yeah, and then, obviously, Keith Yandel should be better on that show, but he's just got to be more entertaining. But, like you, I think, can't remember who said, but off the top, like, we're going to watch either way. That game started at 8:52 the other night, and we all watched it. Tyler and I went to the damn game.
Yeah. So I knew it didn't, I knew puck drop wasn't going to be until after 8:50. So like I didn't get to the spot I park, which is like a 10 minute walk away, until like 8:35. And there's no one walking in. It felt so weird. Smart. Then I went in, got my beer, and the person who serves at that bar was like, did you guys get a heads up that today's game was going to be a late start? And we're like, oh yeah. Like, cause everyone was in their seats. Like usually there's people straggling in for the anthem and stuff, but like you could tell people have been sitting in their seats for like 15 minutes being like, what the hell?
I had something going on Wednesday night. So when I got home, I turned on my TV expecting that I'd be midway through the first period or something. It was like 8:55 and the anthems were still going. I'm like, oh my Lord.
Crazy.
Anyway, yesterday on Better Late Than Never, that was kind of something that annoyed me. Like, they're trying to grow the game. There was only two games in the NHL on Wednesday. Connor McDavid scored his 60th goal of the season at what would have been 1:30 a.m.
Those guys aren't going to watch the game at fucking 11:30 p.m. out there.
It was a good joke by Connor at the end of the game, though, to say that his parents will watch it in the morning after.
I imagine they are two of the only people in Ontario that actually watched it live. Outside of the Oilers fans that are living in Ontario.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys out east aren't up for the games anyways.
Yeah.
Mike McKenna made a good point about it today on Oilers Nation Every Day. He was just like, it's just kind of a downfall of having the best player in the league play in a mountain time zone. Like, it sucks. And like, the thing is, I don't think it's always necessarily, I've had a lot of thoughts about this because I hated it, but like, just say the game's going to start at 8:52.
They did, didn't they?
No, officially. The NHL schedule says 8:30.
Well, yeah, that does. But everywhere
else. Do what baseball does and tell me what time the pitch goes.
Everywhere else was. I even think the Oilers may even tweet it out as going to be at 8:52.
Gregor tweeted out. The
official NHL website didn't say that. And I think that's what prevents a lot of people, because people are sat there and say, okay, well, the game's going to start at 8:37 and it doesn't. And you get distracted by things. And the next thing, you're not watching the game.
But we can't say a thing about that because you had Kobe Bryant play on the West Coast. That's 1 hour even more.
Yeah, but playing for the Lakers, like that's a bit of an exception. It's not like he was playing for the Sacramento Kings.
What's the difference? Game time is game time.
Yeah, but the Lakers are like, that's like a cult following around them, you know?
Like Steph Curry is the same thing. He plays
Pacific. That's a good point.
I think the NBA is a lot different because I know this has kind of been a point. Like tonight, there's an NBA game at 8:30. By the way, they also have 10 games on the slate on a Friday night in the NBA.
I just also, the thing that kind of the thing that irritated me about some people complaining about the Oilers start is sometimes people talk out of the same, they're out of two sides of their mouth where it's like, oh, the NHL needs to stagger start times. Like, what the hell? You can't have two games overlapping. And then they stagger the start times and people were like, whoa, the game starts so late. It's like, you can't have them both. Like,
people just like to complain. It's easy to complain.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just weird. Like, the NBA has done such a good job of being able to promote themselves as an actual league that it doesn't matter when games are starting, but NHL just isn't even close to it.
Like, so what would have been your solution for Wednesday night?
For Wednesday, literally start at 8:00.
I know while the third period of...
No, just start that one at 5:00. Literally push both games ahead by 2 hours. The Leafs start at 5:00 every single game here.
7:00 Eastern.
7:00 out there.
It's exactly. Yeah. But it's still 5:00. Like, people are still watching. You might, you know, it's just kind of like, really, do you need to start?
Like Hockey Night.
They start 52 minutes later than it should have.
Hockey Night in Canada has had this going 5-8 for fucking 100 years.
Yeah, I think we need to stop making 11 p.m. such a late time.
Yeah, but like when you also have a bunch of work to do after the game is over.
And that's fair. Annoying. And that's fair. But I mean, you've got journalists or whatever. They got to get their
articles. Yeah, but for casual fans or for fans of the game that have to work in casual fans, people who maybe aren't extreme diehards, of the Oilers who are like, man, I got to be up at 5:30 tomorrow. I'm not staying up to watch this.
I got buddies, even that, like hardcore buddies that are just like, I got to get up at 5 a.m. tomorrow. I can't stay up for this.
I guess it's about the kids.
6 hours sleep. I had like 4 hours of sleep last night. I'm feeling
chipper. Yeah, but you're a machine though.
Yeah. I guess I'm unique in the sense that like, I have to run hockeyfights.com. I have to be up until the last game is over. It doesn't matter when it is. Like, I don't get the whole like writers and sports writers in the East Coast not watching games because it's in the fucking mountain zone. Like, that's your job. It's your job to know and watch the hockey, and you know when the games are happening.
And then we let these guys vote on awards by the fact that they watch
that's
60% of those teams on TSN highlights in the morning.
That's what annoyed me. It's like Connor's 60th goal live 1:30 Eastern.
Egg milk, if I came to you and I said, yeah, hockeyfights.com, I'm sorry, man. I got fucking shit to do in the morning. I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. If there's a fight after 10 o'clock, I'm not doing it.
I would have been like, who's covering you?
You'd be okay with that. You'd be okay with that maybe once in a while, but sure. That's not my fucking job, is to cut out at 10 o'clock because, oh, the late games are late. Like, I don't know. I guess because I live on the West Coast, quote unquote, I think differently, but it just drives me nuts.
Anyway,
the hockey game was good.
You know what? I know there were some people I saw on Twitter just kind of shitting on the Oilers that the Arizona Coyotes took them to overtime. But like, that team's playing some good hockey right now.
11 straight games. They've either won or lost by one or less.
Yeah. And the puck line today, plus 1.5 is plus 140 for Arizona against Colorado.
Aren't we?
They just took to a shootout the other day.
We're 9-2 right now, right?
The Oilers, yes.
Yeah. And people want to complain.
Yes.
You're 9-2,
yeah, but
and people want to complain.
You can see people being weary of it because they just
9-2 and you want to complain.
They just played the San Jose Sharks on Monday and did the exact same thing where they kind of let that kept that team in the game.
That goaltender kept them in the fucking game. The other team gets paid to play too,
of course. But that's what the fans of the Edmonton Oilers expect, is the team is going to be able to put their foot on the
floor, and then they get all whiny about an 8:52 p.m. start.
So then, like, what? Like, my point here is. Arizona, they're playing good hockey right now.
It's a pesky
and
team.
Yeah. That's why everybody thought it was going to be a gimme. I didn't think it was going to be a gimme. I was looking at, granted, they're not as great on the road, but like when the Oilers are in Arizona on Monday, they're 20-11-3 at home. That's a good fucking record for a team at home. And the Oilers better be dialed in or they're going to lose.
Are we 9 games over .500 at home?
Let me see.
Honestly, I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close.
8 games over.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a few times this year I've bet on Arizona to win because they're just so disrespected by the books. Like, it's absolutely wild.
Wasn't it this year at the beginning of the year when betting against Arizona was like your go-to? It was like
last year?
Yeah. It didn't matter what the game was. He was like, here's 30 bucks, put it against Arizona.
Was it betting against Arizona all the time last year? We were doing puck line against Arizona all the time.
And it was awesome. We have such a good run.
It's like when Homer just threw the money down. He's like, do you want to pick a team? He's like, nah, just keep the money.
To the point too, Rick, and I'm just explaining, I think, not really defending, but like Reimer, who had a great game against us on Monday, just got lit up by the Canucks last night. 7 goals on 21 shots. Yeah, so I mean, like, yes, I guess that
sometimes
that
goalie, Connor scores 5 points in a game, and sometimes he gets 0.
That's where fans that are maybe not as locked in as you are just like expecting, they expect that team to be able to beat the Coyotes.
Does that fan have a great day at work every day they go to work?
Probably. I think it's a glass half full.
No,
I think it's a glass half full, glass half empty thing. Like, I view it as a positive that, hey, even when this team has their B or C level game, they find ways to win.
Yeah,
they got the result. They didn't play great. Whatever. Throw it out onto the next one. They're going to need to be better against Vegas and LA. No doubt. But let's judge them on those games when they happen and not sit there and be like, you barely beat Arizona and San Jose. There's no way you beat Vegas.
Look at the team down the highway. They don't bring their A game and they lose. Even when they bring their A game, they lose. But like, there's a huge difference there when the margins are this thin. And the point that I'm getting at is the Oilers are still picking up wins. Mm-hmm. Two points are going on the board.
And playing a team like these bottom teams, like it or not, it's humans. There is a human aspect to sports. You don't get as up for these games.
And they get up for you.
And let's not forget when the Oilers
were playing loose too. Like, dude,
when we were trash, we used to take good teams and lose by a goal. Nobody sat there and said, oh, that team just beat the Oilers by a goal.
Well, they did a little bit.
You know, you're not watching the other fans media, getting all upset. Oh, Dallas barely beat Edmonton. Edmonton's got 32 points in game 84 or 82.
We would just troll the shit out of their fans.
Some of these teams too, like being a spoiler means something.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
They're playing loose. Like, to me, I watched Arizona play and they were playing loose hockey. They look like they're just, they're out there looking to play for jobs next year.
The more impressive thing about Arizona is they, their salary cap and who's playing and how well they're playing. Like, they're
half their team is dead.
It's true.
Not really. Lest anybody believe they're actually dead. They're just on the LTIR.
Canadians fans.
And yeah. Their goalie had a great game.
Yeah, those are Montreal Canadiens fans. They're all dead.
Yeah. Or almost anyways.
Yeah. Don't forget. There's a handful, a pocket.
If you're listening to this and you're a Canadiens fan, you're going to die soon.
Oh, sorry about that.
Sucks to suck.
The other thing I want to talk about from that game is, first of all, Leon Draisaitl, he just won the best passer by the NHLPA survey. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But he had 4 assists on Wednesday. All of them were stunning. All of them.
Didn't you say like earlier in that day or something like that, Connor was the better passer?
Yeah, I did. I quickly ate my words on that. I was like, you know, I'm surprised Connor to get more love because I think he might be the better passer. Leon saw it and was like, oh yeah, you little twerp. Boom, 4 apples. Listen, man. Blind backhand pass to Nuge on his goal. Beautiful play to spring him on the breakaway.
That was like a 110-foot pass right on the tape.
Right on the tape.
Chintzy second assist on the one McDavid banked in off that guy's back. Leon probably just doesn't even want that one to count. And then in OT, he does what he does.
It was on his one knee, right?
And he choked down
on the stick. Yeah. That was impressive.
Yeah.
He is ridiculous with the pass.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't know. Was not at all surprised to see him voted as the best passer in the NHL. Just really quickly looking at that. In a must-win game, which forward do you think would be the most impactful? 59.3% of the players voted for Connor. Runner-up was Sid with only 11% of the vote.
Ouch.
When it came to best stick handler, McDavid finished second next to Patty Kane. Kane got 46.1. Connor got 28.7. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane's always been able to dangle.
Legacy. Yeah, try and do it at 300 miles an hour like Connor does, though. But yeah, Patty Kane's ridiculous.
The players voted Crosby was the most complete player at 30.1, and McDavid finished 4th in that one at 11%. Rogers' place got the 2nd place for best ice at 14.7%. The Bell Center in Montreal got 35% in first overall. So there you go. The Oilers got a little bit of love in there, and it makes sense. Makes sense.
Feels like the team, speaking about Rogers' place, feels like the team has really figured that out. Because I feel like early days at Rogers, there was some complaints about the ice that we had heard about.
Yeah, Lucic bitched about it a lot. Lucic, I remember that.
I heard Cassian wasn't happy about it either. Yeah. But anyways, seems like it's coming around now.
You love to see it. You love to see it.
You know what else is coming around? The Oilers' record on home ice. They were on a run there where they really struggled at home to start the year. They were not the dominant force that you've expected, but this is what they've done as of late at Rogers. 4-3 over the Yotes, 5-4 over the Sharks. They beat Dallas. They beat Ottawa. They beat Winnipeg. They beat Toronto. Tight game against the Bruins where they actually played pretty well, and they beat the Flyers the game before that, picked up 2 shootout losses before that. Like, their last 10 at home is stunningly good.
2023
needed that too, because last year Rogers Place was a tough place for other teams to play, and to start this season it just wasn't the case.
So you're saying they're peaking right now, and perhaps the perfect time.
I actually heard that
when Matias Ekholm shows up, right?
I heard that actually from the Barn Burner crew, that they feel like the Oilers are peaking at the absolute, well, they said it was the wrong time, but
what would they know?
Maybe early.
Yeah,
but still.
But yeah,
but if you want to try win the Pacific Division and win the conference, exactly, peak right now, because you got a big week coming up.
Yeah, it's a huge week coming up. We're going to look at the schedule. But the thing that sucks about this is the Oilers are 8-2-0 in their last 10, and they didn't gain any ground anywhere, really.
Yeah.
LA is 8-0-2. Vegas is 8-2-0. Vegas, or Seattle lost last night in OT.
We have 2 Vegas and 1 LA coming up, right?
Yeah, and 1 Arizona.
So we've got, let's look at the schedule then real quick. So we got Vegas coming up tomorrow on Saturday night. That is a late game on Hockey Night in Canada. I apologize. It's 8:00. I had nothing to do with it.
I hope it's 8:52.
Is it an 8:21 puck drop though?
Probably. Yeah, probably. Then from there, they got a back-to-back Monday, Tuesday. They are in Arizona on Monday, then back to Vegas. That's going to be an interesting one. Now, my question for you guys. Arizona, like we were just talking about, playing really good hockey at home. Do you start Stew on Monday, hoping that you kick off that 2-game set with a win? Or do you save him for Tuesday against Vegas?
Tuesday against Vegas, no brainer for me.
Yeah, I think they're going to be putting up some offense in Arizona. So I would start Campbell there.
Liam, what do you think?
When would I start Campbell? Yep. I would do it Tuesday and yeah.
In Vegas. Frankly, I'd start Pickard, but that's not up to me.
Is that Vegas?
Yep.
Tuesday's Arizona.
Tuesday's Vegas, Monday's Arizona.
Oh, Monday.
I changed my answer.
Unless you want an absolute.
Don't write it down in
Pickard. Would you put on a show in Vegas and yeah, start Campbell? Although, last time he's played.
Is everyone fully against having him play both?
Stu? Yeah, I wouldn't.
Hellebuck just did.
Yeah, but I think you need to, you're in a different spot than the Jets. The Oilers spot in the playoffs is solidified. You're playing for seeding. The last thing you want to do if you're Edmonton is have an overworked goalie going into the playoffs. Winnipeg needs to get in, so they'll overwork Hellebuck. It's kind of their thing. It's their bit.
Okay, but you don't honestly think have one extra game in there would overwork them, do you?
Yeah, but it's like a straw that broke the camel's back thing, right? Like when one extra game, maybe not, but then do you play them the next time you have back-to-backs? Or what about the last game of the year? Like,
is,
I don't know.
Is this the last
What if the playoffs have a back-to-back no, for us again?
One with San Jose and Anaheim later on.
They've got one more. It's actually LA and Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
Didn't we have a back-to-back last year during the playoffs?
No.
Probably not.
They don't do that.
It felt like a dream.
So, used to way, way, way back.
Oh, really?
Back in the 90s, you'd see that.
Before my time.
Yeah.
Looking.
I would also like, so let's just round out the schedule here. So we got, this is a huge week for the Oilers coming up. Jason Greger wrote about that at OilersNation.com today. Vegas Saturday, Arizona Monday, back in Vegas on Tuesday, and then LA is here on Thursday. That rounds out the month. So we've got a huge week of games coming up. And then lastly, the 1st of April, the Fools, the Ducks are in town.
I like how this schedule works out for us when it comes to the next three games, because we're going to fly into Arizona probably midday Sunday, right? Can't really mess around at ASU. You can't really get into too much trouble there because you got a game.
And then as soon as
that game's over, you got to get the hell out. Right. Go right to bed.
Yes.
Right to bed in Vegas. That game's over. Get them the hell out.
I think they're pretty dialed in. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Yeah.
I'm not worried about that either.
Exam week.
Talking shit.
You did call it exam week, and I like that nickname.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big test coming up. No question.
Better study.
Should make a fun graphic for that.
This team is so good against the best other teams. I'm not too worried about it.
The thing that I just hope is that they just get a better handle on some of the details. Like, I think that the games against San Jose and Arizona, there was just a couple of times where they were just sloppy in their own zone, sloppy with the passes, cheating for offense a little bit.
Not back checking.
I did this rant on ONE. If I see Evander Kane not back check and just slap his stick on the ice to try trick the guy into passing to him again, I'm going to lose my shit.
He's got to sit there and eat his words again, just like the Leon.
Good. But even if it works once, bro, the success rate's brutal. And he's like doing that instead of like hustling and putting in effort.
That's also a beer league move. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I called it today on the show. I was like, this isn't beer league, dude. You got to back check hard.
A-Rod did it at third base and it worked very well for them.
He got in trouble for it. People didn't like it.
I thought it was hilarious.
It was funny.
I think honestly at this time of year against those teams, I think I kind of understand where these guys are. You shouldn't be, but like I said, the human factor, you're not going to have that 100% or 100% come April 17th or whatever like that. I think you'll see a complete different, well, not a completely different, but you'll see them go that extra 2-3 strides. In.
I hope so. You got to ramp up the intensity.
And it'll be again. And I think you'll see it Saturday. And I think you'll see it Tuesday as well. Monday could be interesting, but we'll see.
Next thing I want to talk about real quick is World Cup of Hockey. Reason I bring it up is the World Baseball Classic just wrapped up, USA versus Japan. That last out was Shohei versus Mike Trout incredible. Was everywhere. It was electric. And it brought about the conversation about the World Cup of Hockey again. Connor said, we've been asking for this. I'm paraphrasing. We've been asking for this. We want it. We want a best on best tournament. Is it doable or there's a certain big, you know,
here's
black cloud that probably should participate in a tournament like this that is not going to.
I think the NHL is using Russia as a bit of an excuse. If you really wanted to put on a best on best tournament, you could find a way around it. Do what the Olympics did. When there was some doping, some countries will pull out.
Russian Federation, some countries will pull out.
I guarantee you Czech Republic will not go at all. If there's a Russian team, a version of Russian team, if those guys are there, there's going to be 2-3 countries that do not go.
Okay. Then you could also just do no Russians at the tournament.
Well, yeah, juniors have just done it and it went well.
Forgot they even existed.
Yeah. Pretend they don't exist, essentially, right? Like, who cares? This is a sport, not just for Russia. It's for the whole world that we're trying to get involved.
They really should have had this done 6, 7, 8 years ago. Like when you knew you had two Olympics coming up that were probably out based on hours and based on everything you probably weren't going to go for, you needed to be ahead of it at that point. They weren't, but we already know that this is not a league that's very good at marketing. They're not very good at selling themselves. Like that's just not really their thing. They kind of just say, hey, it's on television. Go watch it. Now give us all your money.
It seems like to a fan from the outside looking in that the only time the NHL and the PA get together to talk about anything is when we are at the cusp of work stoppages. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm fed up with it. I want the NHL and the PA to start figuring some shit out ahead of the work stoppages and ahead of the panic time when we're trying to get a deal done ahead of a deadline. It seems silly to me. We have now have a new head of the PA. Yep. Let's start this conversation.
I never will because they need to wait to the deadline before they get pushed. I mean, that's in every sport, everything, look at the Flames in their arena. Yeah. Look at our arena. It's stupid.
The other thing that makes me mad with the NHL is like Bill Daly's already come out and been like, hey, it's too tight to pull one off in 2024. It just can't happen.
In 2020, what year?
But you know, it's, but, 2023. But they're just tell us the truth. It's exactly. Because Russia. There's the question mark and you want them there and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not because it's too tight. It is doable.
The rant I went on, I did this on the radio earlier today, but like this is the league who in the matter of a couple of months, blah, found a way to organize a bubble with most of their teams in two cities at the same time
in
the middle of a pandemic. You're telling me that 18 months out, you couldn't be like, all right, everybody go to Toronto 2 weeks before the season starts. We're doing best on best in Toronto. Really? That's too hard.
It's nonsense.
Nonsense.
But be honest and just say it's the Russian factor. Because that's exactly what it is.
I don't know anyone's going to sit tournament.
Here. And no one's sitting here going to believe
that. They're scared of pissing off Ovi and the boys. Yeah. And they don't want to deal with the delicate balance of telling them they're not coming.
Yeah. And they sit there and go, well, if we wait one more year, think about the revenue and all the other BS that comes with it.
Sometimes you just got to have a hard conversation at work.
Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
How many teams would you want to see at this World Cup of hockey?
Eight.
Two pools of four. They each play each other. Top four advance to a semifinals or whatever you want to do, however you want to make it work.
I think we make it 300 countries.
I think it's interesting. Best on best. Because I wonder how they would do some kind of qualifying for this. Like you, cause basketball is the other example. Like the top teams don't qualify. Like the US doesn't have to qualify for the Olympics or the World Championships or whatever. Like I think it's the two finalists from the last tournament get to go automatically to the next one. A couple other teams figure it out. But like, if it is truly the World Cup of hockey, it would be interesting to see some, you're not so typical teams there. Like who's the shot qualifying? Like make it a thing. Like I think that'd be really fun. Like
you could do.
You'd have to work with the best teams. You could do a 10 team then
and have some sort of qualifying for the last two spots. But let's face it, there's only three if you count Russia that have a chance of winning anything, right?
Oh, I'd say four or five.
Finland's got the gold. Sweden, USA, Russia, qualifying.
I guess you could do like a World Juniors kind of thing where you have multiple tournaments going on at the same time. I'm getting advanced here.
No, but then you're
teams
not.
Get relegated
that.
And promoted and stuff.
You think like the NHL World is going to?
I'm thinking 20 years down the road.
No,
maybe 50 at this.
Because the NHL just wants to showcase the NHL players. Even expanding to 10, those rosters would be so full of non-NHL players that they don't give a shit.
It's true.
They're not going to be
NHL tournament.
Like, oh, we need to have Austria so like Thomas Vanek's kid can like play, and then the roster is filled with like a bunch of guys who aren't in the NHL.
Or a great Oiler for a day or two.
Or you're going to get like the Canada basketball qualifiers where we send like our B list players. Yeah. And then if we ever do qualify, then all the A listers are like, oh, thanks for qualifying.
They never go anyways. I have it. Big issue with Canadian basketball and the big players never going.
I never understood the idea. I hate it. I never understood the idea.
We wanted more passion, Tyler. You gave it.
Of not playing for your country at a sporting level. Isn't that what every athlete, shouldn't that be the goal?
It's funny. Like, you see so many Americans that want to do with the dream team and all that cool. Steve Nash really didn't do it, especially near when he was at his best and he's older and whatever. You see guys now who still aren't going out there and doing it. And then you see Fonzie. Fonzie out there doing whatever he can for his country. And in that case, he almost He's dragging his team further.
I was going to say, Happy Days was a long time ago.
It was funny you say him because he's a really good example of someone who will just go like through it all to play for his country.
Yeah.
I was watching highlights from when Canada qualified for the World Cup and they were playing, I think it was St. Kitts. It was literally a park and they just put a they put a fence around it and there was just people, it was literally like a side road and people
zoom back a bit as a kid on a swings.
Yeah, it's just like a guys were just sat on like the curb watching the game and you got Alfonso Davies who's literally like a Champions League winner playing on this pitch and it's just like somehow we can get that figured out with a country like St. Kitts on like a FIFA level, but like Canada can't figure out NHL can't figure it out with his own damn players. It's absolutely insane. The storylines would be incredible.
Know what else is incredible, Liam? A trip with our friends at AMA Travel. Maybe you can have a World Cup of hockey in Toronto, but maybe you want to go watch the Jays like Tyler is this summer. You know what he does? He reaches out to AMA Travel. He says, I need your help. And they go, okay, Tyler, we're going to put together a little something for you. You're going to make this easy. Done. There you go.
Got a hotel room in Golden, BC. Boom. AMA Travel. Got a hotel room in Spokane, Washington. Boom. AMA
Travel.
You're a big
Blue Jays guy. You going for the home opener?
I'm so tempted, but no. It's because it's during playoffs.
Yeah.
No, it's before. It's like April 10th, and the playoffs don't start until like 17th.
They'll start a little bit. Oh, yeah.
It shouldn't be. And with your
look at the wheels turning,
I'm some sort of press person. I'm sure you can get like a nice little tour of behind the scenes of the new building.
That is cool.
What's your best note on?
I'm looking forward to going. I'm probably going to bounce to Toronto at some point for even just a work thing in the summer, and I'm going to absolutely go check out.
I'm in on that work thing.
You actually might be in on the work thing.
Oh,
you don't know about the work thing.
Oh. Okay, I guess I'm going.
You want to check those dates at those other hotels, by the way.
Yeah, no, you might actually be looped in on that, Tyler. Next up, I want to talk about, real quick, it is time for Matthew Erwanick on Twitter to start with the magic number. Tyler, which is?
It is 14. So Matt Erwanick has calculated it from the Oilers versus the Jets is the team we're trying to beat out for the magic number.
They're 5 points up in the wild card currently.
Yeah. His reasoning is if the Predators were to win all their games in hand, the Jets would be the last team out of the playoffs and the team that could jump the Oilers and pass them. So you want to use them as kind of the outer marker for the minimum the Oilers need to do to make the playoffs. And that is either gain 14 points from now to the end of the season or have the Jets lose out on 14 points or somewhere in the middle of those two.
I always look forward to when Iwanek starts tweeting out the magic number. I'm not smart enough to figure out the math. He figures it out for me. So I just check his Twitter.
I need a couple more weeks yet before I can get involved.
Yeah. I need to really dumb that down. Yeah. Once we get down to three or four, then the old bag milk's in the mix. That math works out for me. So I'm just excited about that. I love to see it. Tyler, we're playing against the Golden Knights tomorrow. Huge game for the Edmonton Oilers, but they got a little bit of injury trouble. Yes.
Yeah, they do. Riley Smith injured, gone back to Vegas. Alec Martinez, personal reasons, gone back to Vegas. Logan Thompson, who made his first start in over a month against Calgary, left the game. Mike McKenna told me he thinks it was a hip injury and Logan Thompson was leaving the ice kind of holding that area. So Logan Thompson is back in Vegas. That is a top four D-man, a top six winger, and their number one goalie all down and out right now. We're getting quick tomorrow. And he just finished a run in his last three starts. He's allowed 12 goals against.
Ooh, I think my Edmonton wins the division bet might be.
That is looking nice.
Yeah.
I did a little sprinkle on that.
Like a horse that wins at the last second.
Yeah, I've been watching
it. Like a plastic pony that wins at the last second.
Yeah, I dig it.
Jonathan Quick and Jack Campbell have the same save percentage this season. 882.
And everyone sits here and tells you, oh my God, Jack Campbell's having a terrible year. But then look in comparison.
Wow.
Are you Campbell, hearing the same thing Quick about, Quick?
No. Well, yeah. That's why I get like,
are. No, as that's soon as you everyone's like, oh my God, this goalie is going to be reinvigorated, blah, 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 yes, blah, 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 blah.
That was weird. I thought everyone's like, oh, he's going to turn his season around. He said, wow, there's 20 games left. He's been brutal all year.
I also love that. Like
37.
They're like, oh, he's going to be so fired up. Now he's going to play so good. And it's like, listen, like, the thing stopping Jonathan Quick was not how fired up he was. Like he was plenty fired up. He still sucked ass.
Yep. Got shipped out though. No statue for Jonathan Quick. Uh-uh.
He's probably thankful, to be honest.
That statue. I love it so much. I was cleaning out my desktop the other day and I was just going through all my random screenshots and getting rid of shit. And there was the fucking Dustin Brown statue. And I laughed out loud for no reason other than the picture.
They really got to stop making statues or find someone who's much, much better.
I don't understand how the Gretzky statue came out in the late 80s and we haven't improved the technology whatsoever. Cause they nailed that one.
Including facial hair and stuff is the big mistake in my opinion.
Ronaldo has no facial hair.
Yeah, well, that one is terrible.
That's his eye socket.
I love that.
That thing looked like it was made on the sun.
Whoever thought putting his eyeballs into like a melon baller and then putting them into his eyes was a good idea. It was
the side by side. Always obviously Ronaldo's fucking handsome, and then you see that goddamn statue, and you're just like, what the fuck is this?
That guy's from the Goonies.
But even the other, like the Joey statue that the Oilers did, nailed it.
Oh yeah, the one of him outside the locker room is great. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Edmonton, good statue city.
LA can't get anything done with terrible entertainment.
No. And why would you ever want to go there? Nothing to do. Boring. Statues suck.
Yep. Yeah.
And the ocean's really cold to get into.
Yeah.
And the sharks.
San Jose.
And in the ocean.
Literal. Mm. Sorry. You ever seen Jaws?
Barracudas as well.
Somebody remade the poster of Jaws with an actual picture of the shark. So, you know, like Jaws is like the shark at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then they managed to get a picture of a shark, like his... You could like see it was like side by side. It was almost the same.
I've seen that shark. The actual Jaws shark.
The Jaws shark.
I did. I went to Universal Studios when I was a little kid.
They're still
it was
alive.
Very exciting.
I wish the Megalodon was a thing.
Yeah.
You wish the Megalodon was
a do you have a death now. Wish?
No, but I'm also not going to the depths of the ocean where
I mean, like
out.
He's not climbing out to Edmonton and wandering around the river valley.
You never know.
You never know. A whale swam into the River Thames once in London. Not once, twice.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that was so we're going to get really, really creative to hit us here in Edmonton.
That there might be a Megalodon swimming up the North Saskatchewan sometime soon.
He's coming underneath us.
Megalodon, he's on the Queen. It's right there. Just getting boat right there.
As he goes by the River Queen on accidental beach.
Extinct.
Another thing I want to get to really quickly is it was a year ago today that we first met Ben Stalter. And I want to make sure that we just kind of remember that the impact that he made in a very short time in the city. Again, 1 year ago today, he was a Scotiabank skater. That's when that photo of he and Connor came out that went around everywhere. I've got the hockey card of that picture on my desk here at Nation HQ. So I just wanted to give a little memory to Ben here today as well.
And shout out to his parents as well, who with the Ben Stalter Fund are like keeping that movement going, right? You think about all the kids now with the money they've raised, the Oilers have been great to them. The community keeps being great. Think of all the money that's being raised from that. All the kids who are going to get experiences like Ben had, who wouldn't have gotten those experiences if it wasn't for the Ben Stalter movement and everything they do.
100%. Good point, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to say, it was a global impact, right? It wasn't just Oilers fans. It wasn't just Edmonton. It was everywhere. And the Stelters, they still feel that to this day. And it's wonderful to see that, you know, little Benny gave us so much.
100%. Nice. Well put, Dan. Changing gears a little bit, just quickly checking in for our friends at Betway. What have you guys been doing lately? Because I'll tell you what I've been doing. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 2+ points. He's hit it 3 of his last 5 games. And the payouts are nice. They're real nice.
Nice and juicy.
I love it. Also doing Oilers money line. Connor 2+ points has also been very nice over the last little bit. The guy's unstoppable. So if you want some money in your jeans, that's what I'm doing. Tyler, Liam.
I've been hammering the puck line the last 2 games. Don't listen to me.
I have been going with, so this is how I line it up. Oilers win.
Yep.
Oilers team goals over 3.5.
Nice.
And then I sprinkle it on, well, I was doing McDavid over 1.5, and then that soon turned into 2.5, which is a steep one. So then I switched it to McDavid goal, or I'll just do Drysdale 2 points or more.
The funny thing about sports betting right now is scoring goals in the NHL is not easy. But when you go to bet on a Connor McDavid anytime goal, you look at the odds and you're like, I don't even see the point in doing this.
There isn't a point in doing that. It's ridiculous.
It's not as fun.
It is wild.
You're taking the fun out of hockey, Connor McDavid. Stop scoring goals.
He's just basically, he's the sportsbook's line right now for everything else.
Yeah.
They use him as the barrier for everyone.
Our friends at Betway have lost so much money. People are betting on Connor McDavid. They're like, I'm not giving you good odds today on this. I've been fooled before. Provided you are legal gambling age, please bet responsibly. Okay. Okay. Make sure you're having fun.
What is he at tomorrow? Oh, the line's on out. Yeah.
Before we keep going, let's step aside for an ad.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay.
Gentlemen, I got four Ask the Idiots questions for you here. Kind of all over the map a little bit. I'm going to start with Liam. You're to my right in the studio. If you were a star professional athlete, if of course, my apologies, if you were a star professional athlete, what would you do as your go-to move? I would change my number every couple of weeks so that they would have to do a hit discount on jerseys. That would be his dick move. What would be your dick move?
Don't do that. Ocho Cinco did that a long time ago and he got dinged a whole lot of money. He had to pay Nike or something.
Sorry, my dick move.
If you had a dick move, if you were a big star athlete, best player in the world on any sport.
I think I would like call people out in the media. I would love if players would just call out other players in the media way more often. You see it in the NBA, sometimes in the NFL, and I think it is a fantastic piece of business. Builds a brand.
Tyler, you're a star athlete, any sport. Mm-hmm. What's your dick move if you got one?
Oh, what is my dick move? Probably messing with road fans. Like yeah. I'd be, you know, like you're warming up in fucking Florida and you're Connor McDavid and some fan of the Panthers jersey's like, oh my God, can I have your stick? Like you that. Go, yeah, no.
Keep going. Kind of like what Draisaitl did with that fan in Calgary. Did you see that clip?
Real classy.
Like flipping him off and he's like real classy and he scored 2 goals that game.
Rick, what's your dick move?
I don't know, but man, Tyler, that's a good one.
It is a good one. That was a real good one. Man,
because you're going to be, your own fans are going to love you even more.
The wrestling and heel?
Yeah, the wrestling heel.
Yeah, you know what? I think knowing me, I probably have troubles not calling out the officials. Mm. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost me and I...
be very on brand.
Yeah, I'd be a bit of an asshole, but yeah, I'd have an issue with not doing that.
Dan, you got a dick move you'd like to do?
I've been literally sitting here thinking of like anything that I could do that would be dickish. Like, I feel like I would just give only kids autographs. Like if an adult walked up to me, I'd just walk past.
That's actually kind of fair.
That sounds like
I actually don't think that's a dick move at all. I think that is a good move.
I would just hate the autograph vultures.
I think I would just be, it'd be like,
hey, can you sign these 10 things?
I have to ID everybody that gives asked for an autograph of me. I guess that's my biggest dick move. I don't know.
My biggest dick move, I think, would be if I score goals in an opposing building, my celebrations would be outrageous.
Yeah.
Just swim into the net. Like, just do the dive of the
soccer
NHL.
Style. I'm ripping the tarp off and swinging it over. You know, I'm doing something ridiculous that's going to get me fines.
Celebrate
the fines
every-
in the NHL are very minor.
You got to save that for the walk-off, man. There's nothing worse than getting a little cocky early and then it comes back.
Yeah, you get a walk-off though, tarp comes off.
Oh, buddy, tarp comes off. I might be taking my skates off.
I might
there.
Do the full slap shot, stripping on the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
That's such a good one. I want to change mine to like celebrating every goal in the crease of the opposing team. Allowed to celebrate
the Torello and celebrating on the other team's logo. That would be my goal so celebration. There you go. Celebrating on the other team's logo. Like reversing the order. Dan.
Yes.
We have got 10 games. We need 12 points. Can Ryan Nugent-Hopkins get to 100?
Can or will?
Can
will.
Yes, he can.
Will he, though?
Because I think the Oilers are going to be in the fight for the division lead, yes. Yes, Rick? I do.
Of course.
Tyler, 12 points, 10 games. He has to maintain his current pace.
There have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games this year where Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been north of 3 points in that hockey game. In three of those games, he was at 4 points or more. I can't do the math that well. 10 games to go. He's done it 11 times. He's a lock for one more 3 to 4 point game. After that, easy sailing. Nuge, point a game. You've been doing that all year. He's good to go. 100.
Liam?
Yes. He will hit 100 points.
Eloquent in its brevity.
The insight.
I'm going to say, yeah. And I think that he gets a shade over. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him hit 102, 103, 104. Guy's on fire right now.
Radio stations.
Like the goals he snapped against the Coyotes the other day.
Both vintage Nuge though, right?
Just, yeah. And he's pumping them in. It's not, these are not shots where a guy is looking like, oh, I'm just putting it on net. By the way, did people go nuts when in the building when Warren Fogle got yet another breakaway and not score?
I just kind of signed my seat and laughed, to be honest.
I reserved myself to the fact we weren't going to score that goal.
He did that on the goal. I was sat behind that goal. And there was a few people that kind of like got up from their seats and I just didn't even budge. There was no way that was going in.
It was very funny. I was watching on TV at home and I'm sitting there. I'm like, getting excited. I kind of pop in my chair and I saw his Fogle. I was like, oh,
damn it. See that seven, you see that seven and you think, and then
it's funny how consistent he is.
Nation Dan.
Yes.
If you didn't work with Oilers Nation, what would be your dream job or career?
I mean, like straight up Bag Milk, you know that this is my dream job. I harassed you to the point of giving me a job.
Years,
so,
it wasn't years.
So I like my dream job. Otherwise, I would love to be a person that could just make Lego things and like make content out of that. That's a weird thing I know, but
in this day and age, you could do it.
Yeah, I think I can. So send me all your Lego and I'll become a Lego creator.
Did you know, Dan, David Quadrelli, Nation Network editor in chief, huge Lego guy.
Didn't know that.
He has got like those big intense shit all over his apartment.
See, I would just be like making stuff on my own, just at random. So if you want to send me your Lego, send it to me.
Rick, what's your dream job?
Connor Shooter.
You would want to be a winger on the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
Or would you follow McDavid around with a you-know-what holster?
I'll be the winger on the Oilers. Ah.
Tyler, dream job.
The second option to what Rick said.
Tyler changes his answer.
Yeah,
midstream.
Yeah, long-range sniper, I think.
I would go into the family business of plumbing, and I would get a job with Star Mechanical.
Wow. You're such a
Hey, my dad was a plumber is a plumber still who got his start with Star Mechanical. My uncle is a plumber who worked with Star Mechanical and two of my cousins are currently plumbers.
that was not an ad right there, by the way.
No, that was just, that came out. That came out of his face. Liam, what's your dream job?
Professional gamer.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
What's your game?
I play Minecraft right now.
Yep.
I just built a nice bridge.
I just read I watched a video, like a half hour video on the creator of Minecraft. What a sad story that is.
Oh, I didn't hear about it.
He's Jamie's a billionaire.
Wild too, because like over in Asia, like you can go to tournaments in South Korea where they sell out stadiums to watch that shit.
Yeah.
They
did the Fortnite World Cup. So Fortnite can do a World Cup. The NHL can figure it out.
Vegas, too difficult. The Luxor Hotel now has a stadium like that too. Same kind of idea where you can see down.
Mid-2000s, I would have definitely rule in the world in the Madden world.
I get bored of gaming.
I used to run an NHL team online with people from all around North America.
Yep. I used to play the Madden games. The one specifically that I played the most was the one where Mike Vick on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
And you would trade for Mike Vick in that game and he's just unstoppable. You would just be like, quarterback sneak, gone.
Just run around, find your...
Blitz the League was the best football game.
Like those games because they weren't realistic. I didn't like Blitz. I didn't
you don't like...
I
you don't
like the NHL version. I didn't like
the NBA. You don't like being able to walk up to a quarterback and just take out his knee and then you could see a graphic of the knee shattering?
Shit so it was as incredible. Realistic as possible.
So good.
Last questions for Ask the Idiots this week. Liam, you're up first. What are you doing to get ready for the playoff run? This one's from our friend Bearded Brad.
What am I doing to get ready for the playoff run? Well, I'm going to stock up on some bananas because I'm going to need them.
Are you going to freeze them?
Well, actually, when I went to the Crew Game 7 the other day, which they won, as a victory treat, they gave me a bag of bananas. I got three bundles
this
of bananas.
This bit is really going places. Yeah.
So I'm going to make some banana bread tonight, and then I'll restock and...
Will there be banana bread here for everyone on Tuesday for the show?
Mm. Yeah, I can bring in some muffins.
Wow.
Tyler, what are you doing to get ready for the playoff run?
What am I doing to get ready for the playoff run? Giving my liver some load management, we'll call it. Yep. Making sure a couple days off here and there.
Or are you going the wrong way?
Yeah, not too much time off.
No, that's why load management, right? Like, again.
Yeah. Not the Kawhi way, but like you got to make sure he's in there getting like stretching, and getting some at bats, if you will.
Making sure we're good to go. A couple nights where you only put back one or two and then boom, you take it off and go, all right, take a couple hours here. Just get the liver ready.
That's Rick, what are you doing? Get ready for the playoff run.
Well, a little bit of that right there with Tyler. I know last year I learned that you need a little bit of a hangover cure, so I got to track that down. But I'm a little upset with your guys' answers. It's got to be growing a beard.
I can't. So
yep, doing my best.
Yeah, I can't.
I just got rid of that thing that I was calling a beard.
You got to let her go, man. Look, go back to like 06, 07. Look what Sid was walking around with.
Oh, I'm
proud of it.
I fully will be wearing whatever grows out of my face.
Take a running start at it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Dan, what are you doing to get ready?
I'm actually heading to Vegas next week to follow the Oilers and go scream at them in Vegas. And,
really?
And I'm going to go and I'm going down for a bachelor party, but we're going to go to the game. And so we'll be there to yell at them. And I'm going to be in my playoff. Well, yes, but I'll be in my playoff mode in Vegas. So I'm getting ready.
What am I doing? I'll tell you. I'm going to bed real late, waking up early, eating like shit, and drinking only alcohol.
So nothing has changed.
That's what I'm doing. God, I love that. My body will be ready.
So that's just a casual Tuesday.
I want to know what the bearded Brad's answer is to this, by the way.
Well, he's having slamming back a beer with a shot of vodka.
He's laying in the shots of vodka that he'll then consume during the playoffs.
Yep.
He's pickling.
Let's wrap up the positive. Let's wrap up the podcast with some hot and cold performers. We are starting with our veggies as we always do. Liam, you are first. Your cold performer of the week.
Oh, man. I completely forgot what my cold performer was, but I had a good one. I'll just say my cold performer of the week is the fact that the Germans are gone.
Yep. Agreed. Tyler?
Stahl Brothers. Eric Stahl says, I've never worn a Pride jersey. You'd never catch me in one of those. Boom. Photographic evidence of him wearing one.
No, I still haven't worn one.
Yeah. Loser mentality.
See, as you can see, the more you fuck around, the more you're going to find out.
I hope that means there's just photos of him everywhere he goes for it. Just in that jersey. I want to see that jersey replicated.
I want to see them blowing it up like big head style.
Oh yeah.
Shout out to whoever won that at the auction.
$750.
Apparently they're also now raising money for the Trevor Project and then they're going to burn it. So.
No, you can't burn it, man. Yeah, you got to keep that and rub his nose in it.
Rick, you're a cold performer of the week.
Well, this is going to sound kind of weird because it's a cold performer, but it makes me feel really good inside. But it's those guys down south who can't make a win. And I just love watching them piss away their season.
Worst. $10.5 million for an offensive winger who you don't put out in a one goal game late.
Worst.
Rated.
Nation Dan, you're a cold performer of the week.
My cold performer of the week kind of piggybacks off what Tyler was talking about. It started with Ivan Provorov and it continues now to this day. To me, this is on the NHL and the NHLPA for not having sat down and had a conversation about what we're going to do when the players start to push back on this. It's frustrating to me that we have to continue to see this now. Statements coming out from people that are unprepared. The teams come out with statements about everybody being in on it, and then it's changing afterwards. It's really frustrating to me. I'm sick and tired of having to have this conversation. And I think that the NHL and the PA need to sit down and figure it out so that we don't have to keep having this discussion. And so NHL and the PA get my cold performer of the week.
You're as cold as ice.
I'm just going to go with what Dan said.
It's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it. Fuck them.
Sorry, I just, that just, It's you're right, Tyler, and everybody's right about it. That's the thing. That's the frustrating
part. Let's end off the podcast with some positive notes here. Dan, we're reversing the order. You're up first.
My hot performer of the week is going to get spread out equally amongst 22 people. I'm just going to give the first names. As Liam mentioned, they're gone now. But my hot performers of the week is going to go to Nicholas, Nils, Lars, Alex, Jesse, Sven, Philip, Jan, Thomas, Melina, Melanie, Christian, Tim, Julian, Andreas, Mario, Mark, Lucas, Alexander, Hans-Dieter, Rudy, and Frank, all of our Germans, for giving us one of the best trips we've ever put together. An absolute wonderful time. We can't wait to have you back. It's getting hot in
here. Rick, your hot form of the week?
Mix 60.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Other than that, nothing else to say. Feeling
hot, hot, hot. What else you got to say about it? Tyler, you're up next.
You hot can't wait for week. Mix 70, though.
Oh, we'll see it.
We are YouTube, no longer the Nation Network on YouTube. It's now Oilers Nation. No more Leafs or Flames or Canucks or Jets or Blue Jays content. All Oilers all the time down the stretch and into the playoffs. So go give us a subscribe by searching for Oilers Nation on YouTube. I'd love to get it to 10K.
Yeah! Mine goes to, I just teased it for a second, but the Crusaders advanced to round two, beating Fall McMurray in game 7, and they take on Spruce Grove now, so that'll be a lot of fun for this city.
He's a hot guy.
My hot performer of the week, very important items that I've got here. Number one, season 4 of Love is Blind coming in. Come on, Netflix. You know how I love my dating shows. Number two, I've been staring at Rick's new shoes that he's got on right now. These are some fresh kicks, pal.
I bought them like almost a year ago. I just didn't wear them very much. And then they don't get worn in the winter, so...
This is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you not.
I've got a couple of pairs of fresh kicks that are just, they're waiting for the snow.
Oh, yeah.
They're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There you have it. Oilers Nation Radio. Episode whatever was said earlier.
277.
In the books. Million. Shout out to our friends at Tourism Jasper, AMA Travel, Betway, and Oodle Noodle. Remember, go get your Oilers Nation stickers if you're in Edmonton, if you're in Calgary. You made a poor choice. Drive on up the highway. Get a sticker. There you have it. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.